Hey, good morning to you. Nice to see you here today. We're glad that you've joined us. We've been talking about, we started last week actually talking about passages, five different passages that are somewhat complicated, a little bit harder to understand, and we've been learning, great truths from these. You know, somebody came up to me last week, and they said that when this first flashed up there, they thought I was going to talk about Arlene and I's relationship. Yeah, okay. It is complicated, but for a whole different reason. With her being down in Tennessee with Sarah, you do know I've been a bachelor for 7 weeks. It's a wonder I'm still alive. You know, honestly. But there's the end in sight, though. She's going to be coming home right after Thanksgiving. And I'm excited about that. And maybe we will survive after all. No, we've been talking about different passages that are complicated. Let me give you the passage here today, and let's read it together, and then we'll make some comments about it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. This is what it says. It says, "In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage." Now keep that phrase in mind, because in my mind, that's the part of it that's really kind of complicated. Being in the very nature God, Jesus, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, this is a complicated passage of Scripture. Just this whole idea about what does it mean that Jesus emptied himself, that he didn't count equality with God something to be held on to, but something that he freely gave up. You know, the question is that when Jesus became a human being, Did he empty himself of his divinity and become totally human? Well, the short answer to that is no. Jesus still was totally human, but yet totally divine. But there's some mystery in this and how what it means that Jesus, when he became a human being, when he became a person, that he emptied himself. Well, let me kind of explain it to you this way. You know, there's some moves that you see people make, they just don't make sense. You know, have you ever seen somebody move from one house to another one, or from one place to another place, and you're like, you know, why in the world did they ever do that? You know, kind of like this. You know, why would you ever leave that, you know, to go here? You know, when I saw this picture, I couldn't help but think our first winter here was the winter of 1993. Do you remember that one? Oh my gosh. I have pictures of me shoveling snow out in the driveway, and literally the snow is piled up this deep beside my driveway. I remember one particular time in that, Arlene said to me, she said, "John, where in the world have we moved?" You know, why would you choose this? Why would you leave this to go here? I mean, you think about it. The people that make these kinds of moves, for example, somebody that becomes homeless. Most of the time when somebody becomes homeless, they don't have a choice. I mean, they're forced out of their home. They're forced to live on the streets or whatever. It's not something that they chose. It was something, you know, because of circumstances. And when you think about Jesus, you know, we all think about at Christmas time that Jesus Christ left heaven. and he was born in a barn, in a stable. You know, one day he's sitting on the throne, and the next day he's laying in a manger, in a feed trough. You know, once he's at the right hand of God. I mean, he's God himself. He's God incarnate. What would ever cause you to leave that and come and live here? Matter of fact, this picture here, this doesn't even do it justice. Because the whole complicated nature of Jesus leaving heaven and coming and living in this earth and coming and living among us, it is an incredible truth to even think about. Because here's the thing, you know, when this verse in chapter 2, Philippians 2, verse 5 says that in relation to each other, that we should humble ourselves like Jesus did. And the really neat thing about Jesus is that he not only taught humility, he lived it. I mean, when Jesus talks about love, I mean, he can say, you know what? You know, this is how much I love you. I left this to come and live among you. You know, when you're talking about and thinking about what Jesus gave up and what he sacrificed, it was incredible because so many times when we're talking about things like this, we don't necessarily find it easy to practice what we preach. But Jesus not only practiced what he preached, he preached what he practiced. And Jesus Christ, when he talks about being humble and humility and the importance of that in the life of a believer, it wasn't something that he just talked about. It was something that he absolutely lived every moment of every day. One person actually said it this way, that he suffered the wrath of God. The wrath of God against sin in his own holy person. That Jesus suffered the wrath of God against sin. And he did it in his own holy person. Now what that means is that we all know that the wages of sin is death. You know, because of sin, death came. But Jesus wasn't a sinner. And when the Bible talks about how he humbled himself, how he became a person, how he emptied himself of the holiness of God and became in all ways like us, he became in all ways like us, except in one way. He wasn't a sinner. I mean, he felt hunger. He felt the needs of us like we do. He felt cold. He felt pain. And we see all of these things illustrated in Jesus' life and in his body. But he became like us in every way, except that he was not a sinner. That he still did not commit any sin. And listen, folks, I think that is so difficult for us to understand. And to me, when you come to this passage here in Philippians chapter 2, where he talks about that we should have the same mindset of that of Christ Jesus, who even though he was in the nature God, he didn't consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he laid all of that aside and he moved from his zip code to our zip code. You ever been in a big enough city to where you understand the zip codes? You know, and how you know, like here, it's like, oh, you know, 16601. Oh, I live in 16648. Oh, you're in Holiday. Oh, you know, you understand zip codes. Think about the move that Jesus made from heaven to earth. From perfect spirit to sinful flesh. From the beauties of heaven to the horrors of life here with us. So when Paul says to have the mind of Christ, what is complicated about that? Well, I think it's interesting because there's two other places in the writings of the Apostle Paul. One is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Another one here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. We're looking at Philippians 2, but in chapter 3, verse 17, also in 1 Corinthians 4, 16, what does Paul say? Is anybody familiar with those two passages? It's those two passages that Paul says, this is a quote, "Imitate me." In other words, when you're choosing how to live, he says, "Imitate me, do as I do. Watch me and do as I do. Live as I live. Act as I act." Now, folks, I submit to you that's one of the most complicated parts of this passage. What would cause Paul to say such a thing? I mean, isn't that the very opposite of true humility? I mean, when Paul says to the Corinthians, "Be imitators of me," when Paul says here to the Philippians, "Be imitators of me," isn't that the exact opposite of true humility? I mean, some would think so. Let me teach you here just briefly the difference in this. In both of these passages, when Paul uses this terminology, he's talking about actions. He's talking about the way you live. He's talking about the way that you talk, the way that you speak, the way that you live your life before other people. And he's saying, you know what? You can imitate me. I mean, to you and I, it might seem like the more hypocrisy than humility to declare such a thing. But here's the difference. Because when Paul says here about be imitators of Jesus Christ, he says not emulate Jesus' actions, although that's certainly appropriate. He says have the same mind of Jesus Christ. To me, that's a difference. Because you see, what fuels my actions? What fuels how I live? What fuels my choices? Well, it's how I think. It's what goes on up here that causes me to choose particular words or choose particular actions or to live a particular way. So I think the difference is when Paul says, "Be imitators of me," he's saying, you know, when it comes to Christian character, Christian activities, spiritual disciplines, he said, you can look at my life and you can use me as an example. But when you're talking about the motivation for why you make the choices that you make, if you're talking about the inner qualities and the inner characters that define who you are. You know, like the book of James says, to think on these things. He's saying here that when it comes to the way that you think, emulate Christ. Here's the beauty of it. You know what? You can see how I act. In other words, the Apostle Paul, the people that he was teaching, they could see whether or not he was practicing what he preached. But you know what? I can fool you with what I think, what I believe, what's going on up here. Because you can't see it. But up here is what fuels, it's what causes me to make the choices that I make. And what the Apostle Paul is saying here is that when it comes to your actions, make sure that they were born out of the same kind of heart that Jesus Christ has. Have the mind of Jesus. Because you know what? When you think about Jesus Christ standing up and leaving heaven to come and to live in a human body and to die for us, it's an amazing thing when you think about the heart that would motivate someone to make that kind of choice. But he did that. That was exactly what he did. Matter of fact, I think it's beautiful in John chapter 1 in verse 12. It says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." He gave the right to become children of God. In other words, we can be like him. Isn't it amazing how regardless if whether or not we want to do it, we take on so many things that are like our parents. You know, this past week we were in a staff meeting on Tuesday, and Alex, Pastor Alex, he was sitting near me, and I forget what we were talking about. We were talking about something, and he laughed really big, and he made some kind of gesture, and I looked at him, and I said, "Dude, you look exactly like your dad." Do you know his dad? I mean, you know, he looked exactly like his dad. He sounded like his dad. He had the mannerisms of his dad. I said, "Dude, if I could close my eyes, and I would think that I was in the presence of your dad." You know, I've said for a long time, you know, that my girls are enough like their mother to give me hope. You know, do you ever see yourself or see your spouse in your children? And here's the thing. Sometimes that worries us. Sometimes that makes us proud. You know, when they're like us in certain ways that's not so flattering, we're so worried about it. You know, we're so worried that they're going to be like us, or going to act like us, or talk like us, or heaven forbid, drive like us. And then there's other times it's like people say, "You know what? I saw your child today, and man, they reminded me of you." And we're like, "Well, that just makes us so proud." I mean, how much of our character and of our heart, how much of us being children of God are just like our Heavenly Father? And then are we like Him like this? Because really, what they're describing here in Philippians chapter 2 is this idea of self-emptying of Jesus. I mean, just think about that term for a moment and what that means, that Jesus freely gave something up when he came and lived in a human body. Fully divine, yet fully human. But it's obvious here that Paul is talking about that Jesus gave something up. Now, before you think that that's an impossible thing to do, the Bible talks about how when it comes to the end times, when it comes to the Son of Man coming back, it says that not even the Son knows, only the Father. You know, that it seems that Jesus even limited His knowledge about that. So here we have this instance where He says that Jesus, that Christ, that He did not count being equal with God as something that He wanted to hang on to, but it's something that He willingly laid down so that He could become a human being. And so He could identify with us. You see, I think that's why the Apostle Paul here says, "Imitate me in certain things, but when it comes to humility, imitate Jesus Christ." To have the same heart as Jesus. You see, He had a different heart, didn't He? You see, Jesus could be in the midst of a bunch of people that all they were thinking about was stoning someone that was caught in sin. And Jesus could think about forgiveness and grace and mercy. You know, Jesus could be Jesus could be hanging on a cross, but yet he could pray a prayer that said, Father, forgive these who are nailing me to this cross because they don't know what they're doing. You see, Jesus had an ability to really empty himself and to think about his love and dedication to other people. Can you do that? I mean, can you do that? That's not that easy to do. Have you seen Don this morning? I mean, what would compel Don McClune, compassionate Christian counseling, what part of compassion does he not understand? Did you see his shirt today? He has on a Baltimore Ravens jersey. Compassion? Does he know anything about compassion? It's so easy, isn't it, for us to puff ourselves up, to build ourselves up. And Don certainly doesn't do that. He's a great example of humility in most things. But it really is a difficult thing to do, isn't it? That's why Jesus talks about how the last will become first, and the first will become last. Recently, I was out in the public. I was in the grocery store actually, and there was this little lady came up, and she was going to check out, and she had a cane, and she was obviously having a little bit hard time walking. So I invited her to go in front of me, which she did. And the person behind me literally complained out loud to me and to her that I would do such a thing. That's the world in which we live. And you know what? It is so easy to just jump right in that. I mean, I was tempted to tell this little lady, you know, little lady, I'm sorry, you need to go to the back of the line. Right? I mean, it's so easy to jump into that. Paul is saying, listen, we can do no better than to emulate and to copy the humility that we see in Jesus Christ, our Lord. The very incarnation of Christ. What did it involve? It involved Jesus Christ Himself holding back from the privileges of His divinity and of His divine sonship. In order why? In order to take on our frailties and our sins and our weaknesses. To take on every frailty that we have except our tendency to sin. Even as He remains God Himself. Think about that, folks. Think about by Him becoming man that He was able to bring mankind into the very essence of the Godhead. Listen to this. One ancient writer said, and I quote, he said, He became what He was not so that we might become what He is. Isn't that awesome? That Jesus Christ became what He was not so that we might become what He is. We may never equal Jesus Christ in His unique sonship, but to all the people He gave the right to become children, sons and daughters of God. And He did this so that we could partake of His privileges by entering into the family of God. And how does He do it? He does it by self-emptying Himself and becoming a man. Now, how do you do that? Well, one word. You do it by obedience. You do it by obedience. Now, what does this passage teach us about obedience? You're talking about, you know, complication. It teaches us about obedience. How God freely gave up the glories of heaven to become a human. To die in our place. And if that weren't enough, it says that He became obedient, even obedient to death on the cross. It wasn't just that he sacrificed. It wasn't just that he gave up something to come here. He literally died in our place on the cross. You see, Jesus' obedience, it reached so much further than the keeping of commandments. It came all the way to the ultimate indignity of being crucified on a cross, of becoming sin for us, of He who knew no sin, who was not a sinner, He became sin for us, so that what? So that we might become what the Bible says is the righteousness of God in Him. Think about that. Jesus being born, but still living a sinless life, but yet being obedient even to the point of death on a cross. Jesus went all the way to the cross. What do we learn from that, folks? We learn from that when Jesus died, all the sins of all the people were laid upon Him, and He became sin for us, but He was never a sinner like us. That's what His obedience was willing to do. Have you ever been accused, or even worse yet, have you ever been punished for something that you did not do? Back when I was in middle school, I asked the teacher one day if I could be excused from the class to go to the restroom. And she said, you know, since I was such a perfect example of a middle school child, she said, sure. So she let me out of the class. So I went to the restroom. And while I was gone, someone else in the class, another young man in the class, snuck out while she wasn't looking. And when he left, one of the other classmates actually snitched on him and told the teacher what he had done. So when she was hearing about this young man who had snuck out of the class while she wasn't looking, that was about the time that I was coming back in the class. And as I walked in the door, true story, as I walked in the door, the teacher saw me come in the door. She reached over and she grabbed me by my arm. She reached up on the wall behind her desk and she pulled off what she classified the Board of Education. Did you have the Board of Education in your class? And she pulled this paddle off the wall and she just started whacking me, and I'm going around in a circle. And I go around about 15 times. Whoa, I'm doing the dizzy bad here, you know. And she's just whacking me with this paddle. And I'm trying to explain, you know, what's going on here. And she was, I'll teach you to sneak out of my class. I had permission, you know. And she's like, just kept going on. Well, then finally, you know, she stopped. And somebody said, or I said, or something. No, that wasn't who snuck out. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. That's right. I told you could leave. And I'm like, okay, that is zero consolation at this moment. After just undergoing what I went through, that was absolutely zero consolation. Okay, an apology was not, it did no good. I just think about the obedience of Jesus. And what He went through to feel the weight of all of the sins of all of us, everyone that has ever lived or living or ever will live, Jesus Christ had their sins on Him. What that must have felt like, because He was not a sinner. He did not deserve the wages of sin. But yet God in His sovereignty had ordained Jesus Christ Himself to come to this earth and to live a sinless life and to take on the sins of humanity and to die in our place so that we could receive something that we never deserved. And if you just think about that and what that means and what that looks like, it's an amazing thing. Matter of fact, I think when Paul says at the beginning of this passage, or in 2 Corinthians rather, 5:21, He says, God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And you know what? When you understand that, and when you accept that, and when you believe that, then the words of the Apostle Paul, when he says, let this mind be in you, then you understand what that's all about. That what he's talking about there is that we need to have the same kind of humility that Jesus Christ had. Humility that causes us to empty ourselves and to put others before ourselves. You know, that would cause us to be obedient, even to the point of being martyred because of our faith in Jesus Christ. That we need to have this kind of mind in you. Because when we have that kind of mind in us, then we can be like Jesus. And when we have the mind of Jesus, then we can encourage others to follow our example, as Paul did. You know, there's an interesting point in Jesus' ministry when Jesus brought a little child and set him up on his lap, and he says to the disciples, talking about the faith of a child, and he says to the disciples that you can't enter into the kingdom of God unless you have the faith of a little child. Now, what does he mean when he says that you need to have faith like a child? You know, when a child loves you and when a child trusts you, it's amazing what you can get away with. I had two young nephews when I was younger, and they were just little tykes, and there was a point in life that I actually used to trade them nickels for their dimes because I convinced them that the nickel was bigger, therefore it was worth more. Now, I can't get away with that anymore. I actually did that. I remember when Jack was little, and the first time I ever showed him how I could make a quarter disappear, and then I could pull that quarter out of his ear. He was like, oh, it's just amazing. I did it over and over and over again. And one time we were in this store, and he was wanting something, and he said, Pappy, pull some money out of my ear. Man, I would have loved to pull a $100 bill out of that kid's ear. They quickly learn. I remember when my kids were younger, there was one point we wanted to do something, and I made some excuse about how, you know, we didn't have the money, and my girl said, Dad, just go to the ATM and use that plastic card and get some money. You know, that was when they got the lecture about how, you know, you need to have money in there before you can get out. You know, when you're talking about children and their faith and their belief, they believe so easily. You know, I've had a lot of conversations with adults where I've tried to convince them of faith, and they didn't follow. But I've never talked to a little child that didn't just believe so easily. I think when Jesus said that we need to have faith like a little child, what he is trying to get at there is for us to realize and to understand that he wants to teach us something that's so very important. Because he said, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, he says by this one symbolic act, by this one symbolic act, he teaches us that to accept the kingdom of God with the humility and the trust and the faith of a child. And Jesus not only taught it, but he lived it. Because he didn't just stop there with his teaching, with this child on his lap. He exemplified what that kind of humility looked like in life each and every day. today. You see, folks, a lot of people think that the death of Jesus was simply to set for us a good example. But it's so much more than that. It's so much deeper than that. Because His death was to pay the price for our sin. But it is also the very best example of humility ever displayed to humankind. He loved us, and He gave Himself up for us, Paul tells the Galatians. So we should be loving. We should be self-giving toward others. We should always make sure that we are like Jesus in this way. And you know what? There's times when people have said to me, you know what, your children remind me of you. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what do they do now? And then there's other times like, you know what, I see your kids in you. It's like, well, thank you. In what way would you not want to be like Christ? Especially in this way. Because you know what? If there's any subject that's complicated in the world in which we live today, it's humility. To the world, humility is nothing more than a weak abstract to avoid. But in Jesus' mind and heart, and in the teachings of the Apostle Paul, it is the very essence of who Jesus was and how He bridged this idea of being wholly human yet totally divine. And may we be like Him in that beautiful way. Let's pray. Father in heaven, dear Lord, I just pause and pray for everyone, Lord, in this room this morning. Father, there's people here today that are really, really struggling with this. It's such a complicated thing for them to think about, to even comprehend, Lord, how You were fully human yet wholly divine. But Lord, we know that You did limit Yourself because You left heaven and came here and took on a human likeness to live for us, and Lord, to take on every attribute of how we live, except being that of a sinner. And because, Lord, You lived that sinful life and You were obedient even to death and death on the cross, then we could receive the very thing that we could not achieve for ourselves. That we could stand righteous before You. So, Father, teach us the beauty of that and help us to accept that with an open heart. And then, Lord, may we emulate the humility that we see here in You. Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's in Your name that we pray.